Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me. Got Maverick back there as well, although he is nosing on the couch that he's not supposed to be on, that I've just conceded to the dog at this point. Glad that you guys are with me. Couple of things, three things to talk about tonight on this edition of the show. Number one, some injury news for Ole Miss that leaked out, at least in one way, in an extremely odd way. In fact, I think it's truly bad form, and we'll talk about that coming up as well. The injury itself also could be a significant blow for Ole Miss for however long that lasts. We will talk about that. Also, one of Ole Miss's opponents got some rather significant transfer news this week. And does that mean that that game now becomes the trap game for Ole Miss in 25? We'll talk about that. And finally, some like big picture college sports news that directly impacts Ole Miss's recruiting efforts. We'll talk about all that, read some of your comments, and more on this edition of the show. Glad that you guys are with me. As I've said three times already, it's late, forgive me, but I really am truly happy that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already, although the overwhelming majority of you that listen to this are subscribers to the podcast in the podcast feed, and for that, I thank you. If you're not already, hop on over to Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, really, and search Rebel Report and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe and like and leave a comment and all that good stuff as well. And this edition of the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. And they're also Exit 40, off of Exit 40, right there in Brookhaven. And you don't have to live in Brookhaven to shop there. I made the mistake myself of buying a car out of convenience and not out of going with the place that I knew that I could trust. And I got sold a piece of crap is what I got sold. Toyota of Brookhaven will take care of you like a person because that's what they do. They've got great in-house financing, especially on the new Tundra. They'll give you $1,000 on me, literally $1,000 off on me. Just tell them that I sent you. $1,000 on me. Just tell them that I sent you. And also one of the highest rated service departments in the state. Toyota of Brookhaven, they will deliver. So I'm sure all of you have seen by now the rumors that appear to be accurate about Arkansas transfer tight end into Ole Miss, Luke Haz, injuring his ankle and getting surgery. And there has not been official confirmation from Ole Miss yet. Lane Kiffin and company will meet with the media within about a week, maybe within 2 weeks. They have not yet sent the email about when their media day is going to be. If I can work it out, if it's after when school begins, I will go. I will physically go and be there for that. But in the meantime, there's been no official word about this particular injury. The timeline that's been thrown out there rather recklessly is he's going to miss half the season. And so when people just kind of throw out half the season, well, do they literally mean he's going to be out six games? Do they know that that's his prognosis? I don't know. And, you know, message board rumors are going to message board. That's the whole point of message boards is to, hey, I've heard this. Have you guys heard that kind of conversation? There's nothing wrong with it. I will say the way that it possibly went truly public was in a bizarre fashion. So I'm going to take Best of Arkansas Sports word for this. They are linking to an interview that Dowell Loggins, the now head coach at Appalachian State, who was at Arkansas for a period of time, did recruit Luke Haz and then was at South Carolina as the OC before he took the Appalachian State job. Apparently, Coach Loggins, again, he was at South Carolina, but apparently Coach Loggins went on 103.7 The Buzz in Little Rock and said, quote, Luke Haz had surgery on Friday. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but he's going through some stuff. I was on the phone with him on Thursday, and it's because we care about the kid. We recruited him. We're excited about his future. You're in their corner for life, and you want to help them be successful. The rest of that quote, you know, gives me kind of pause, like, okay, maybe I shouldn't say this. But no, coach, you shouldn't say that. That is not, unless he specifically told you to go on Arkansas radio and share his injury report, you should probably keep your mouth shut. That's just me. I don't know. I'm being very sports talk radio guy, but I guess that's technically what my job is, what my day job is, not this podcast. But no, that should not, that injury should not come out. That news should not come out from the Appalachian State head coach on Little Rock, Arkansas radio. I find that situation to be bizarre. That announcement needs to come from him and his team, not from you, the Appalachian State head coach who recruited him a few years ago on Little Rock radio. That's bizarre to me. And frankly, I think that's really bad form. Should not happen that way. But otherwise, seems like it's true. If that coach, his former coach, is saying it, and people that cover the team and stuff like that have all kind of confirmed that it's happened, well, then maybe it's happened. From an injury timeline perspective, if it is in fact a fractured ankle, who knows, right? Who knows the extent of the injury? Speaking definitively about timeline, I think is irresponsible for what it's worth. We talked to a sports medicine doctor during the radio show today. We didn't have him on as a guest. We just talked to him during the show. And if it is what the rumor says it is and nothing worse, he said you're looking at about an 8-week timeline. And if, again, this is all, who knows, right? Who knows how true any of it is. But he said that it's about an 8-week timeline, which would put him back roughly around the Tulane game if it is in fact a fractured ankle, and that's all it was, and the surgery occurred last week. That's about what you'd be looking at as a general principle. So who knows? I mean, obviously I've not confirmed it myself, no official word out of there, but it is to some degree a loss for sure. I mean, you and everybody else expected him to have a pretty big role for this Ole Miss team. They're really high on him, even though his career numbers don't exactly jump off the page at you. He played on some pretty bad teams, but is certainly athletic and capable and would have had a pretty significant role on this team. See, and somebody right here says it's not a fractured ankle. Okay, so then I don't know what you want me to do. Some kind of surgery occurred, whatever the hell it is. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. So it's frustrating as hell because there's a rumor out there and I can't get any confirmation, nor can anybody else except for the Appalachian State coach, apparently on Little Rock Radio. But then if I didn't talk about it, people would say, why are you ignoring it? So Jake, if you have some more detail, please share, because what is it then? If it's not that, it is surgery though. Apparently. Regardless, point is, this would be a lot more concerning if Daquan Wright did not exist. If Daquan Wright wasn't there, if it was really Luke Haz and then a bunch of inexperience, that would be a lot more concerned than I currently am. Now, you probably won't see as many two tight end sets, although they like that New Mexico transfer apparently as well. But by and large, don't forget about Daquan Wright. You know, we had somebody text into the show and was like, well, this really like changes everything about Ole Miss's season. And it's like, all right, take two steps back here. I mean, there's not even a guarantee that he would start because the guy that took Caden Prescorn's job, is the guy that is still on roster. So it's certainly a blow. It would have played a role right away for this team, still can whenever he gets back from whatever injury that it is. We'll see. We'll have to see. So that's all I got for you, which is basically nothing. I do know that for however long he's out, it is certainly a loss because they expected him to have a big role in 2025. I hate talking about stuff like this because there is no confirmation and who knows, but that's all that's out there right now. This is a very bad podcast so far. Maybe we can save it. All right. Next thing is Ole Miss's week four opponent, which is already an interesting game in and of itself. You guys know how big of a fan I am of John Sumrall. If you listen every day, especially to the radio show, I think that is who, during the search, I thought that Sumrall should have been the guy that State would have really gone hard after. And I've said before, if Kentucky is truly what he's waiting on, you want Stoops to be there for as long as possible because John Sumrall in the SEC is a problem for the rest of the SEC. I'm a big believer in him and his teams and the way they're going to be prepared for that game in Oxford regardless. So already I think that Tulane game is fascinating as hell, especially sandwiched in between Arkansas and LSU. You hate that spot on the schedule because if Ole Miss is, in fact, 3-0 going into that game, everybody around them is going to be pointing to LSU. Ole Miss will be ranked somewhere in the neighborhood of number 10 at that point, somewhere in the neighborhood of number 10, 10, 11, 12, whatever. And LSU, even if they lose to Clemson in week one, will be a top 15 team as well going into that game, most likely. And so all eyes will be pointing to LSU. And in between that 3-0 start for Ole Miss and that LSU game is Tulane. And Tulane very likely got better this week with Jake Retzlaff, the transfer from BYU. You guys know that situation by now. He had to leave BYU after violating the honor code because he admitted to having premarital sex, which is something that you cannot do at BYU if you want to attend school there. He was accused of worse. Seemingly all of that has gone away, and it's a simple violation of the honor code. Legally, he has been has not been charged with anything and seemingly will not be. He's off to Tulane. Good player. I wouldn't call him great, but I certainly would call him good. He's played in big games, completed 58% of his passes for just under 3,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. Did throw 12 interceptions a year ago for BYU, but he's played in big games and played in big environments, and he's tough, and he's a good player. Threw for 346 at Arizona State and a loss to their two picks, but still threw for 346 at Arizona State. That was numbers-wise and opponent-wise his best game of the season, and that was the best team that he played a year ago. That was a good BYU team. He's talented. He can run as well. Good player, and sounds like he is definitely going to start for Tulane. Their quarterback room is fascinating. They brought in a bunch of transfers, one from Ball State, one from Indiana. They brought in what the heck's his name? The guy that was at Auburn and LSU and Finley, TJ Finley, who then had to leave after claiming that the car that he was arrested for stealing was a Facebook marketplace scam. Interesting stuff there as well. But on paper, this guy is the most Iowa transfer as well, I think, into Tulane. So odd situation there at the quarterback position. But this guy is a different element. And I think that that game for Ole Miss, Tulane for Ole Miss, has gone from trap to possible trap to definite trap. Because this dude, if he acclimates and he wins that job and is ready to go, is going to be a thorn in the side of an unfocused Ole Miss. I have a feeling that game's going to be uncomfortable and you're going to hate being there. And it'll be something like 28-14 or whatever. Just a total rock fight without seeing either team play yet. That's just kind of your late July thought on that one. And finally, the national college football news of the day. Unsurprising to anybody paying attention or anybody just kind of using logic and common sense. The House settlement, the thing that some people tried to convince you was a true salary cap and that collectives were going away. I don't know how anybody could read anything that has happened and told you that collectives would go away. I don't know how anybody could get to that conclusion, but some people did, and they were just going to be wrong. I didn't realize that it was going to be this fast, but just a couple of weeks after the House settlement gets approved and the alleged salary cap existed, it no longer exists already. It has become a soft cap because the obvious College Sports Commission that was denying all NIL deals from collectives, that no longer can happen. They were denying everything from collectives, basically, with the Deloitte clearinghouse situation. And as I told you guys, and as everybody has told you guys, it was never going to work. It was always going to face legal challenges of which they would lose. You cannot restrict the earning potential of anybody without their approval, whether it be through a union or a CBA or something like that. You cannot restrict the earning potential of somebody without them signing off on that, or a representative of them signing off on that. The collectives do operate, most of them anyway, as a quote-unquote legitimate business, and therefore denying deals from a business, a free business, to a free American was always going to lose. And sure enough, according to Ross Dellinger, attorneys have resolved the dispute over how the College Sports Commission handles NIL collectives, revising its approach to treat them like other businesses, a major move that paves the way for continued collective operations. So, what does this mean? A school like Ole Miss that has a collective that has been not only well-operated and well-funded, but well-branded as well, like the fan base connects with said collective, Ole Miss is in position to go over the quote-unquote salary cap. Now, there are programs, of course, as you guys know, that have more money, that are richer in fan base than Ole Miss, but if the collective economy is continuing to exist, and it is continuing to exist, I do think that ultimately benefits Ole Miss. And so that is good that the salary cap died this quickly, allowing the Grove Collective to continue to do its thing, at least until they can come to some kind of agreement with school and athlete. That's not coming anytime soon. Congress isn't saving them either. It's not stopping them from thinking that they will, but anyway, all right, we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them that I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day. Got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's probably one in your backyard conveniently located for you. And they have local loan servicing and decision-making. So you can guarantee that you'll talk to somebody face-to-face that that will actually, you know, get to know you instead of just talk to you on Zoom out of state to decide whether or not they're going to give you a loan. Because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. Is he actually going to play quarterback for them, Jake Retzlaff? Yes, I would expect him to start. The people that cover Tulane expect him to step in and start right away. If you look at the schedule, Tulane is the best place for a trap game. Arkansas, being a home SEC opener, does not qualify. Agreed completely. Going to show up in Hattiesburg and not even let me know. Could have made that copyright infringement Pelicans gear for you in Little Man. Yeah, we did the day trip to go to the zoo. Because the zoo in Hattiesburg is perfect. I like Hattiesburg. I think it's a good town, man. Really good town. A lot of burner accounts there that, you know, get disgustingly personal. But the town itself and the actual real humans that live in that town, great people. And I love going there. And the zoo there is perfect for a small town zoo. It was just big enough to where we didn't feel like we were in and out, like we didn't rush through it. Good selection of animals, good stuff for kids, got a snow cone, got to ride a train around the facility, got to pet some goats, and it was well kept, and the staff was really good. Like, we just had a really good time. Went down there, went to the zoo and ate. So love my time in Hattiesburg. It's a good place. It's a shame that you have to get in the car and drive an hour and a half from Jackson to go to a zoo. But the one here, this is getting like way off topic, but I've been to the one here one time, and I refuse to support it because I think the animal care is shameful. So I'll never go back. So hopefully something happens there, because, and I'm sure the staff is trying, but the animal care and enclosures and everything was just awful. Just awful. Sucks the news about Luke Kaz. Yeah, no doubt. Tulane might be the best team of the first four on the schedule. There's a very real chance that you were exactly right. Although Talon Green is going to be a problem for a lot of people this year. That offense is going to give some people fits. It really is. If Haz does miss six games, but his recovery goes well, could it be a little more fresh to take some of the pressure off of Wright in the tight end room? You would think so. Tight ends can't stay healthy under Kiffin. Has been an issue. What are these purple crowns about in the chat? I don't know. So the software that I use does not display what you actually see on YouTube. So let me look here and see if I can help you out with that. Yeah, I don't see this on YouTube. I see this just strictly through my software. So let me see. Let me see how that works. I have no idea what those crowns are. And you guys have XP? I don't understand that. I don't like it. I don't think... I don't want there to be a competition created in the chat about stuff like this. I just don't like that. So I'm sorry that you guys are dealing with that. But anyway. The crowns help straighten out the curtain rod. Yeah, if there actually was one. Cue Caleb Oldham. I am interested to see if in the interim, for however long Haz may or may not be out, if they do consider that move, because I don't think, could be wrong, but I don't think Caleb Oldham was going to have a big role on this team. So, void at tight end, guy that is already kind of built like one, seems like that would be a natural progression. But anyway, New Kentucky is the destination for John Summerall, but they owe Mark Stoops like $40 million. Yeah, if they go 4-8 and again, though, he's gone. Tulane might be one of the top six hardest games this year. Let's see, where would I rank Tulane? I would rank them ahead of Georgia State, Washington State, and the Citadel for sure. I think Tulane will be a better football team than Mississippi State. Is the Tulane game more difficult than at Kentucky? No, it better not be. But Kentucky was awful last year. Got to see them play first. It's so hard to know. It's impossible to know. Is Tulane better than Kentucky and Arkansas? Certainly can be. I don't think Tulane at home is more difficult than at Kentucky. The Tulane game could possibly be more difficult than the Arkansas game. It could be, especially considering the location on the schedule. So, but the Egg Bowl on the road is that more difficult? I think Jeff Lebby would trade his roster for Tulane's. I think he would do that. Is that crazy to say? I think he might. I might ask Haydad that tomorrow. If you would trade your entire roster for if you could trade the entire roster for Tulane's, would you do it? I think that answer is yes, isn't it? Best comparisons to the Tulane game from previous years are Liberty 2021 and 2023 Georgia Tech, I guess. That's a good one. If you had to set a line for the Tulane game, is it around 14? Yeah, 14 to 17, something like that. You say minus three, don't underestimate Tulane. Yeah, but that line won't be that small. If it is that small, yeah, Ole Miss has a loss or two going into that game already. I think Arkansas is going to be decent offensively, but have a terrible defense and a bad roster, and the opposite with Kentucky. Terrible offense, decent defense. Tulane will likely be the most balanced. Good evening, James. Glad to see you. Agree. There are two to three SEC games that I'm confident in winning without seeing the teams play at all. Not football related, but RIP Prince of Darkness. Absolutely. Absolutely. My my almost six-year-old, sort of almost six-year-old, is starting to really get into music like that. Like before we took a bath tonight, he had me playing AC/DC concerts for him. And he knows Crazy Train, of course, obviously because of Ozzy, and he loves trains too. So that just meshed perfectly. But sad day. A couple weeks ago, seeing that farewell concert, I mean, it was cool to see him on a stage and a scene like that at his age and his health level. So heavily influential in the music world and a legend. Does part of a disappointing season or a worst case scenario include a loss to Tulane in your opinion? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Austin with the super chat. Thank you, man. Really appreciate you. What do you think? Memphis goes from here. Pac-12 stay put. Try the ACC. Why would the Big 12 take that deal? Where does Memphis go from here? I mean, frankly, they're probably screwed. Because if they can't get, in this era, schools desperate for money to take a couple million dollars a year to play them, I don't know where they go. Because if I'm the Big 12, I don't take that deal, even if it's more money. Because there's two questions. One is, what does Memphis add? Truly, truly, what do they add? Good basketball? They don't enhance the conference in football, which is what anybody's really looking for. That they don't add some crazy market or fan base that will change things in the Big 12. That they don't enhance the brand of the conference at all. They don't add anything to the Big 12. So that's number one. It's just the reality. They don't add anything to the Big 12. And number two, if you're the Big 12, and you look at what the ACC just signed, which is basically the league can blow up within 5 years. They have a get out of jail almost free card. Their buyout for teams that want to leave the ACC will pretty soon fall off a cliff from a cost perspective. And if you're the Big 12 and you're looking at the incoming implosion of the ACC, and you know you're not getting North Carolina or Clemson probably or Florida State, but you can, could you get Virginia Tech? Could you get NC State? Could you get Georgia Tech? Those brands enhance your conference. Memphis does not. And so the Big 12 should sit and wait to see if they can get some of these remaining ACC schools that won't immediately have a home in the SEC or the Big 10. That's Memphis's problem, is they're trying to get in at a time where the Big 12 is looking a few years down the road and thinking, we could possibly get NC State, we can get Virginia Tech. They add, Memphis does not. Had this year's schedule last year, so they use the four cup get games for Austin Simmons to get his feet under him. Yeah, I don't think that would have helped them a year ago, though. I think the same phenomenon would have existed, that they wouldn't have really truly gained anything. I don't think Simmons gains much from four games against nobodies. Tulane's quarterback any good? I think he is. I think he enhances them. Yes. Could you see both Tulane and Memphis in the Pac-12? If I'm Memphis and I decide to do the Pac-12, I want a travel partner. Why not Tulane? I don't. If you're the Pac-12, is that the direction you want to go right now? Possibly. Maybe so. State's roster is pretty bad. I really like the running back room. I really like their running back room a lot, to be honest with you. There's potential to be good at wide receiver. I'm concerned that they flipped their entire offensive line in the spring portal. That worries me. On the defensive line, they got some portal guys that actually, like, you know, were either prospects that a school like Texas wanted out of high school anyway, didn't play there, but still. They get a guy from NC State who's pretty productive at NC State. So they should be slightly better there, but there's nothing that when you look at that defense, you think, oh, wow, like they've really gotten so much better at this position. So it should be a better roster than it was a year ago. They did improve via transfer portal. The question is how much, and I don't know how much. If you told me they left Oklahoma with two losses, you'd say they have a real shot at the playoff. Absolutely, if they leave Oklahoma with two losses. Because they would have, hell, I mean, they would only have South Carolina and Florida at home and then Mississippi State to be a playoff team. Absolutely. Find it hard to believe that Cincinnati's bringing substantially more to the Big 12 than Memphis does. But they're not deciding between Cincinnati and Memphis right now. You know what I mean? They're not deciding between that now. Cincinnati's already in. And I do think Cincinnati's a more desirable location. It expanded them out more, expanded their reach. And to be quite honest with you, I think that this is not nothing. The perception of the city of Memphis and its safety is a factor. And, you know, your counter could be, well, what about New Orleans? Everybody, New Orleans is dangerous, but New Orleans is also a lot of fun. And I know, I know that Memphis, you can have a great time in Memphis too. I've been to Memphis. I've had a great time. I've been three times. And each time I was like, this is great. I had an awesome time. Girl I dated in college and I went up for a weekend and just kind of messed around to see what it was like one summer when there was nothing going on in Oxford. And I was like, I love Memphis. It's great. But the perception of it hurts it and stuff like this as well. And it's hard to ignore that. I do think Memphis is going to get left behind, yeah. Just feels like the LSU game is what the season hinges on. Lose anything before that, and unless they beat LSU, we're talking about a disappointing to bad season. Tend to agree. I mean, if they can't get to LSU undefeated, then it could get ugly quick with road trips at Georgia and at Oklahoma, and then you've got Sellers and Lagway still on the schedule. Don't think the SEC would take Florida State. I think Florida State would have to do some begging. It feels like and it sounds like that they would rather go north. They would rather North Carolina and Virginia than Florida State, Miami, you know. Feel bad for Memphis, but the good news is they can make the playoffs as long as the G5 auto bid is still around. And it sounds like it will always be around. I don't think that's going away for a while anyway. Feel really good about the wide receivers room. I think my not so hot take would be that the wide receiver room will be very clearly, undeniably better for Ole Miss in 25 than 24. If I told you Ole Miss makes the playoff by the end of the decade, would you buy it? I would buy multiple playoff bursts by the end of the decade. Do you think Lebby simplifies the offense enough for Williams to be successful? Do you think that's what his problem was at Ole Miss? I think that's absolutely what his problem was at Ole Miss. The inability to execute assignments. Maybe Lebby does try to simplify it for him, but I don't think Lebby will put up with that either. So he's got to grow up quick. He's got to learn quick. And because Lebby's not going to keep him on the field either if he doesn't know what to do on a given play. So, yeah. When do I think Kamario Taylor starts for Mississippi State? Let's see. There's no good time to do that. Like, if they're really struggling, and you use the talented freshman quarterback as your get-out-of-jail-free card, where do you do it? I mean, if they have, let's call it, 3 losses, that's giving them the Southern Miss game. Let's call it 3 losses by October 11th. And then they lose at Florida. And you're thinking, all right, let's see what the young guys got. Do you start them against Texas? Do you start him in Fayetteville? Do you start him against Georgia? Do you start him in, you know, like where do you insert this guy? There's no good window on this schedule to give a true freshman his first start because it's either at Gainesville, at Fayetteville, or at Columbia, Missouri, or Texas and Georgia. Does Jeff Lebby surpass last year's win total? I tend to think so, yes. I like Jeff Lebby, the coach. I think that if given time, he will win. I don't know, and win is a relative term. Will he have enough time? I don't know. I think there's a good head coach in there. But you can't just blame last year on personnel. They lost to Toledo by a billion points. It's not just personnel. That's something else. Has he figured that out? I think he's smart enough to figure it out. We'll see if he can actually do it. If they lose to Southern Miss, he's done, yeah. Think Tennessee might be one of their best chances to win at home against Tennessee? Let's see. Who's Tennessee have before? Oh, the only problem with that is Tennessee's hosting UAB before they go to Starkville. So it's not like there's a classic like letdown moment. But in a hypothetical world, if Lebby got fired this year, what's next for State? Who takes that job for anything outside of a paycheck? Nobody. I've said this on the radio. Not only do State fans need Lebby to win because you want your football program to win. This is the worst time to be bad at football. The worst time. You need to be good at football right now for a lot of reasons. So they need him to win from that perspective. But if he does not, if they roll out another 2-10 and you go 2-fired with Moorhead, 1-fired with Arnett, and I know the circumstances were what they were, but still, that's what happened. You hired him and then you fired him after a year. And then you go 2-fired with Lebby. You will absolutely despise the candidate list because the paycheck will not be big enough for any candidate that you want. Like you would despise the candidate list. It would be horrendous. Because even like GJ Kinney wouldn't jump at that. 2 years and out? No way. Mm-mm. The third coach in very recent history to not see year 3. Is Dan Mullen a coach at State in 3 years? I would bet on that in a, like, if you gave me, like, plus 500 odds, I would put money on it. You know what I mean? I would not be shocked at all. Over under 2.5 SEC jobs open at season end? I would go over 3.5. I would go over 3.5. I think Sam Pittman's going to retire at the end of this season. I think Mark Stoops is going to get fired. So there's 2 already. And then you've got Auburn. You've got Kentucky. Let Hugh Freeze go 7-5 and tell me he's still at Auburn So there's a chance that he's gone. Let's not pretend like Napier's seat isn't hot as well. They're in Baton Rouge, at Miami, at Texas A&M. They have to play Georgia. They have to go to Ole Miss. They have to play Texas. They have to play Tennessee. There's a real scenario that he's gone as well. You can't count that out. There's a real scenario Brent Venables is gone as well. So I would take the over. Does Kentucky eat it for basketball's benefit? 100%, yes, absolutely. Hugh Freeze is getting fired this year. Certainly could happen. And now he could save his job, too. He could beat Baylor and then go win at Oklahoma. You know, I mean, those things are entirely possible as well. But they could, Auburn, could wake up on September 28th with three losses at Baylor, at Oklahoma, and at Texas A&M. Schedule is pretty easy, though, after that. But if Brian Kelly doesn't make the playoff this year, that's all she wrote for him in Baton Rouge. Maybe not getting fired, but next year will be the hottest of hot seats, yeah, for sure. But anyway, I got to run, guys. I appreciate you, as always, and we'll be back on Thursday. See you live on Thursday, and dog days of summer, man. Hope you guys are staying cool out there. And I will see you on the next one. I'll see you guys on Thursday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.